going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Hey, good morning, friends. Welcome into the show. It is Thursday. It's going to be hot today. It'll be hot this weekend, right?
Well, it's not going to be that hot next week. It's next week. It's going to be warm and pleasant today.
Warm and pleasant today.
Like so, your personality.
You know what, Amy? I appreciate that.
He was in a better mood this morning, Matt Pajeski, after several days in a row of being sullen and morose.
Yeah, I'm in a horrible mood today.
Chris Ronchi has been delightful.
I'm covering it up. 314-436-7900. Reach out to us with that and the Odyssey app, the leave a message feature. You can record a message and send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. Also, did you know you can watch us? Yeah. On Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. We look real good today.
Well, a little frizzy.
You think so?
I'm a little frizzy, but you can still watch us.
I feel pretty good about what we are doing here. So please join us and watch us. We are at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Got to have a win. Got to have it. The Blues tonight will take on the Jets. It is game three. They are down 0-2. It's going to be a late puck drop. Also 8:30 tonight.
And Russia hits Kyiv with some of the deadliest strikes since 2024, according to Ukrainian officials. Donald Trump addressed Vladimir Putin on social media. We will chat with Major Garrett, CBS Chief Washington correspondent, in the next hour.
I think anytime anybody does anything, hockey player named Vladimir who does something against the Blues, I think we could say, Vladimir, stop.
I mean,
just like Donald Trump's Truth Social post today. Speaking of sports, the Cardinals. They drop a series to the Braves last night. The bullpen implodes.
Are we going to get into that?
Yeah, I don't want to, but...
Here's a swing, and there's a fly ball hit to deep left field. That's going to leave the ballpark. A three-run homer for Eli White, his first of the year. 4-1 Atlanta in the eighth inning.
It's always late. Everything that's happened with the card, they've played a lot of close games, by the way, this season. And the bullpen is just not good. The bullpen is nothing like it was last year, which is a problem because they're getting starting pitching for the most part. They've been getting enough offense to win, and the bullpen is coughing it up. And they have very few reliable arms right now. So it sucks. We have the Gas House Gang today at 12 o'clock. It'll be Bernie Miklas and me. So we'll talk about that. And Ollie Marmel, who is on the show every Tuesday, he joins us from 12 to 12:30 on the Gas House Gang. It's always a really great conversation, so you should listen in on Tuesdays. And Ollie, after the game last night, made some comments, and it almost sounded like he was, making a cry for help in a way. like, hey, we've got what we got. We have the arms we have, and this is what it is. And he is not wrong. So that's going to have to be addressed. So there's that,
can
Amy.
When did the Cardinals lose the ability to rely on Ryan Helsley? Like, when did he stop being reliable?
They can rely on him. They just can't get to him. They can't get the game to him because they end up losing it in the seventh or eighth inning before it's time for a closer to come in and close out a game.
So
that's the problem.
I don't know what you do. Would you say it's fair too to say it's not just the bullpen, but the starters aren't going deep enough?
Not that really hasn't been as much of a problem as it was in the first week and a half or so. The starters have done a much, much better job of going deep in games. The problem is they just don't have enough reliable arms out there. They're trying to use guys like Fernandez, who was really good last year, and they're trying to get him back to that, and he is nothing. Man, he is so far away from what he was for them last season. And when you don't have the late inning setup guys to get it to the closer in the ninth inning, then you're in trouble.
So that's
the problem with the Cardinals right now.
I think it was Bernie on the Gas House Gang, a week or two ago. And he talked about a bullpen that has a really good season, perhaps a surprising season where all of the pitchers outperform their expectations. He said always they really struggle the next year. Like, you know,
expect some regression.
They're going to be terrible the next year. Or at least, like you said, expect some regression.
Yep.
Stupid question, but why?
Why
do all of them have to regress? Is it just the odds that they can't all be extra good at the same time?
Some of it is that. Some of it is just by definition, relievers are not as good as starting pitchers are. You might have a premier closer like the Mariano Rivera type or Helsley, who's been really good. And I think he's done it long enough. You can call him a premier closer. You have guys like that that you know you're going to rely on every year. Also, there isn't a, because the workload, see, a starting pitcher is going to go like 150, 160, 180 innings. If he's really good, he's going to go 200. That doesn't happen as much as it used to. The sample size of innings is smaller, so your margin of error is smaller too. So if you screw up as a reliever because you don't pitch as consistently as a starter does and you don't throw as many innings, if you have a couple of bad outings, then it really shows up, right? You don't have a whole lot of time to make that up. So I think it's a matter of sample size. There are a lot of different reasons for it, but I think it really starts with relief pitchers generally are just not as good. So there's going to be variance from year to year. And the Cardinals are seeing it now, and they're losing a lot of close ball games, and they're losing them late. So the Blues tonight, this is a very big night for them.
Yeah.
Amy, I don't want to call there's a must win and then there's a must win.
It's not a must win.
Yes, it is.
No.
This is not a must win. A must win is when they're down 3-0. You have to win, otherwise are you okay?
Yeah. No, I couldn't see you.
Oh, because of the ring lights?
Yeah, sorry. I get it. I get a must win.
But it's a must win because you can't go down 3-0. Because if you do, that's probably the end of that.
See, and I don't use the must win, which is weird. It's not like I have any reservations speaking in superlatives in other areas of life. But when it comes to hockey, let's just be objective. Let's look at where we are. Yes, we're down 2-0. The best thing you can do is win both games at Enterprise. You haven't lost at Enterprise in 2 months. That's the longest home ice winning streak in the NHL this year. It's a franchise record for the Blues. They haven't lost since February, 12 games. Great. Win at home. I would say, though, it's not a must win. It's a you really need to win this. And there's a difference. You really need to win this versus the must win of you lose and you're out.
All right, let's look at it this way.
I think the must win has just been overused.
Okay.
It's been tarnished.
Some people use it inappropriately. I'm not. Let me reclassify.
You are most of the time inappropriate.
Well, yeah. Let me redefine it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, fine.
Or I'm going to change the terminology. tonight is a must win. If they go down 3-0, that is you have to win or you'll die.
So,
is that fair?
So, okay, that's fair. So the pendulum here, I'm swinging into lessening the effect. So I'm saying it's a you really need to win this, otherwise you're in a must win. You're calling this a must win, the next game being otherwise you're going to die.
Correct.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because if you go down 3-0, it's over. It's over, over. No, it's just over. And then when you lose the fourth one, then it's over, over.
I think if
you
they
see
go
what
down,
I'm saying?
Yeah, I think if they go down 3-0, I think they win game four and then lose in five. I don't know. I think there's a good chance that that happens. But listen, this I will say this about the Blues. They're down 2-0. Could they have won that game on Saturday? Should they have won that
yes.
game on Saturday?
Yes. Yes.
That was the game that you steal in Winnipeg.
Yep.
At the same time, Ranj, Winnipeg's the better team these past two games. They just have been. I know it's been close. I know when you look at the stats, it's been close. But 5-on-5, Winnipeg is dominating. You know, especially who's dominating? Their top line of Scheifele, Connor, and Iafallo. So when Scheifele and Connor are on the ice together, 5-on-5 against the Blues, they're outscoring us 4-0.
Yep.
Their best guys right now are playing better than our best guys when it comes to 5-on-5 play. Another thing that's a big concern, and this is what the Blues have to stop tonight, Scheifele and Connor have been super successful against the Blues down low. Like, Connor was wide open in the slot. Scheifele's behind Jordan Bennington controlling the play. You can't let those guys be that successful down low. And then the Blues, on the flip side of things,
very few scoring chances.
Have to figure out how to penetrate the Jets' defense. Four shots. You are down for most of that third period, and you get four shots on goal in the entire third period. And those were not high-quality scoring chances. When the Jets boxed out the Blues from being right in front of Hellebuck for the entire third period, if you can't figure out how to have a more successful forecheck, to have more puck position in the offensive zone, you're probably not going to win.
And it seems like every power play they get after the first period, nothing gets through.
Well,
Nothing gets through. They're finding very few lanes to get scoring chances.
And that's why when you get that lane, you got to get the shot off, which we talked about, which is different than the shoot.
That's
different than that.
That's obnoxious.
When you're in the slot... Don't double clutch.
No.
Get the shot off. Because you're not going to get another chance. Well, our beloved producer, Matt Pajeski, was gone yesterday because he was saving the Earth.
Yeah, I organized a little cleanup for Earth Day, which was actually a day late. Earth Day was Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, you forgot about Earth Day?
No, we're just, you know, working with Crown Candy's schedule. And
oh, okay,
Wednesday
okay.
turned out to be the best.
Of
so,
course.
The Go STL Marathon is happening this Saturday, and they will be running through Old North St. Louis as part mm-hmm. of their route. So we went to clean up around Crown Candy Kitchen, get some ice cream, get some sandwiches, make the place look all pretty so nobody's stepping on needles or White
Jeez.
Castle can, you know.
Did you find needles out
no,
there?
No.
Oh, okay. What'd you say needles for?
Well, sometimes it has happened in the past.
I have been done a cleanup,
yeah.
and I found needles. I found a head. It wasn't a real head.
Wait, hold on a second. Like a human head?
Yeah. It scared me.
Was it a mannequin?
It was, but I didn't know it at first. We were cleaning up where people were dumping mattresses and industrial waste
in
Wellston. And so you're digging through, and then I saw like some hair, and I started clearing it out, and there was more hair. And then I was like, oh my gosh, and I started yelling, it's a head! Found a head. It was a mannequin head, but it was disconcerting. You don't know what you're looking at.
No.
That's a good place to dump a body is in like a place that's full of trash.
I think the best place to dump a body is in full view of everything because people will just assume it's not a body. They'll say, oh, that's a mannequin. No
oh
big
my
deal.
Gosh. Or they'll assume they're sleeping.
Because there's no, yeah.
Because there's a lot of people just sleeping
yeah.
on the sidewalks around here.
That does happen.
Okay, so Matt, you cleaned up around Crown Candy for the marathon, which is happening on Saturday.
That's right, yeah.
Were you provided with victuals from Crown Candy?
I don't know what that means, but we're given sandwiches and ice cream, that's for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah. Hey, don't be using words like that. Do you know who's listening to us right now? Just kidding.
Little.
We have
Not vittles.
Victual.
We have very smart people listening to this show. Did you have that bacon sandwich?
I had the BLT.
Did you?
It's the heart stopper, heart attack BLT. I mean, it's like 5 pounds of bacon.
That is so much bacon.
I know. It's amazing.
Did you eat all the bacon, or did you have to pull some of the bacon
off?
I
ate all the bacon.
Did you do the milkshake challenge?
No.
Is it five or is it three?
I don't know. I'll have to look at that.
So remember when Man vs. Food came into town and Adam Richman, he did the whole milkshake challenge, and then he went to the bathroom to puke?
Oh.
Because it is too much.
It is five milkshakes.
Five milkshakes.
No.
Within 30 minutes.
Oh. Yeah, it's not possible.
That's
Has anybody ever done it?
I hope not.
I don't know how you would. That is so much dairy, and that is so thick, and that is a very small amount of time to accomplish that.
There's a wall of winners, so there must be some people.
I'm stunned anybody could finish five milkshakes
in
a day, let alone 30 minutes.
What about Joey Chestnut, or one of the competitive eaters?
You know what? That's a really great question.
Because they don't eat a lot of dairy. They don't do a lot of dairy competitions.
Yeah, you know what? Bring that tool here to St. Louis. And see if he can finish that challenge.
What about the lady that we spoke to that went to Uranus Fudge Factory?
Oh, the Fudge Factory.
Yeah, what is it?
It's in Uranus. It's in Uranus. Do they say Uranus? Or in Missouri, there's a Fudge Factory there. And remember we had, Juan Rodriguez. He is a competitive eater. He goes by Juan More Bite.
Oh, that's right. He does.
His specialty is pizza.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's really good at just putting away pizza, and
he
participated in that event.
There is something about the pure dairy of a milkshake that's very off-putting. Like, that sounds difficult, the milkshake. Well, Matt was keeping the streets clean. We do have a note for the participants in Saturday's Go St. Louis Marathon. You know those sinkholes, Ronj?
Yeah.
The big ones that swallowed up the streets like Park?
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the Go St. Louis Marathon course. So the good news is they're able to reroute the marathon course around the 20-foot deep hole near Cass Avenue and 18th Street and around the one on Park Avenue. They're able to reroute those. The bad news is the marathon is now a little bit longer than 26.2 miles.
So what's it going to be?
It's about a tenth of a mile longer. But here's what I'll tell you now. Whenever they have a certified marathon, half marathon, 5K course, they always, in order to make it certified, you have to make it a little long. Because if you have a short course, then you've got issues. People don't really qualify for Boston. Records don't count. So you want a USATF certified course, which means they're always a little long. My guess is this marathon, instead of being 26.2, could be like 26.5.
Well, that's
maybe.
Not fair.
I know. Maybe it could be. I bet it's somewhere between 26.4 and 26.5. That's
so
going
to
be my guess.
You know what they should do to make up for it? They should install right toward the end, like a moving walkway at the airport, where the runners get to just stand
there
to make up the distance.
Yeah.
So they're running an actual 26.2.
I want to see what it is. I have a friend running. I'm gonna guess 26.45 is what 47 is what his watch is gonna say.
Yeah.
But here's the thing too, got to run the tangents.
What does that mean?
It means when you run the corners, you take the shortest line through the corner. You don't want to run around wide because that will add. That's why a lot of times the courses are longer for runners because they don't run the shortest distance. They don't run the tangents. They just go around the corners instead of getting as close as you can and running a straight line.
So a tangent is shorter.
It's
the
shortest.
It.
Yeah. It's okay. It's how they draw the course. They
so then
draw
how
the
come
course.
When you go on a tangent, it takes much longer than I want it to? Are you mad at me right now?
I actually am.
Are you mad at me?
No, I just really thought that was clever. I'm mad that it was so clever and funny. That was pretty good.
A texter here
you
says,
"You go on a tangent; it takes longer."
A texter here says, "I'm 45 and could tell you almost every player when I was a kid." And talking about baseball.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know if this was Earth Day related.
No, this is about what we asked last segment.
Okay.
And it says, I asked my 16-year-old the other day to tell me some Cardinals. He could only say Newt Bar, sad. And I think the best part of this text is he spelled Newt Bar like Nut Bar, N-U-T-B-A-R, which I think that's how it should be spelled.
How do you know the kid didn't say Nut Bar?
He might have.
I think the kid said Nut Bar. I think that's the point.
He's trying to trick dad, which isn't very nice.
My favorite player is a Nut Bar.
Hey, I'm so excited. Run DMC, baby. When we come back, Daryl McDaniels from Run DMC. There is a concert that Run DMC, along with the Sugar Hill Gang, is doing at the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra Thursday, May 8th. Very excited about that. And Daryl McDaniels joins the show next. Chris and Amy's show on 104.1 FM KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line, and we're thrilled today because coming up on the 8th of May, so it's happening at Stiefel Theater, and it's happening very soon, Run DMC and the Sugar Hill Gang with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. It is a celebration of hip-hop. Again, this is Thursday, May 8th at 7:30 at Stiefel Theater. And we are very excited to be joined by Daryl McDaniels of Run DMC with us now on the show. Daryl, it is good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. I'm ready to rock and roll, but I want everybody to know it's just DMC.
Oh, just DMC.
Not Run DMC.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't want people thinking the Beatles are back together.
Okay.
Come on, Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny, you know, Run's a reverend now. He's in there doing more DJ and TV stuff. But I love music so much that, you know, after Jam Master Jay passed away, I was like, okay, I walked this way in my Adidas all these years to tell people how tricky life can be. Now, at this point in my career, I can let all my rock and roll dreams come true and collaborate with all my favorite musicians, like I'm doing with the St. Louis Symphony, go expand my musical boundaries and go into other territories. So even though I'm 60 years old, I'm still doing exactly everything that I was doing when I was 12, and it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, have you played and performed with an orchestra before?
I've never done it before. I've played with funk bands. I've played with rock bands. I've played with metal bands. I've played with punk bands. Just this past weekend, I performed with a ska orchestra band. But now I'm coming to St. Louis to do what I can do with the St. Louis Symphony. Now, that being said, I've seen Cypress Hill do it. I've seen Nas do it. I've seen a couple of people in hip-hop do it, but I've never done it. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun for me because I'm going to be doing songs like It's Tricky, Mary, Mary, Walk This Way, Sucker MCs, King of Rock and Rockbox. So it's going to be very, 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 very innovative, creative, entertaining. But like I said earlier, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So it's my first time for everything. I can now add this to my King of Rock resume.
Yeah, you mentioned Cypress Hill. They did it with an orchestra live,
yes.
Right? And I think,
yes.
I mean, guys like Kanye sampled with classical music.
Yes.
So, like, that's happened
right.
before. But what made you want to do this specifically to work with an orchestra? Because it has happened
right.
before, but it's still pretty unique.
Yeah. You just said it right then and there. Since the dawn of time, since hip-hop has been around, we sampled everything. James Brown, jazz, punk rock, R&B, you know, what Run DMC did with Walk This Way. So all of this music was always there. Rock and roll, hip-hop, funk, punk. Remember, y'all, I know y'all remember this thing called disco. Remember when disco died? I remember being a kid waking up. And the whole world would say disco sucks and it's dead and it died. But when the world threw disco away, hip-hop grabbed it. It was like, you don't want to use this? So just like you said, since hip-hop's been around for 50 years, before we even was allowed to go into the recording studios, if you would have came to the streets of New York and seen Kool Herc or Grandmaster Flash or the Grand Wizard Theodore DJ, and he would pull out a classical song, throw it up on a turntable, and loop it and mix it in with the beat. And once we got the ability, once we was allowed, once they knew we was legit enough, once we was allowed to go in and record, once rappers delight, you know, through the Sugar Hill Gang, allowed us to go into recording studios. Like you just said, all the producers, all the MCs, all the rappers, all the DJs, since 1979, the first rap record, if you go and study and listen to all the hip-hop, classical was always up in there. But the beauty about this is to actually do it with the musicians who make the classical music. See, it's a difference from sampling something that's already on vinyl and putting it into the computer and putting it into your song. The beauty, the magnificence of the rebirth, the reintroduction, the exploring of a whole new universe is so much more powerful when you perform it with the actual musicians. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
And it's a new experience it's a great experience for people that like hip hop, who have heard hip hop sampled, but they've never seen it done in real time. And especially for people who like classical music. And this is funny. The people who love classical music who hate when the rappers sample classical music because they think they're ruining it. This is a way to bring us all in the room with, you know, all the thoughts and misconceptions that we have, and show them at the end of the day, when you break it on down, when you remove the definitions and the divisional characteristics that represent each different genre, it's all just music at the end of the day.
Daryl McDaniels is with us on KMOX. You know, you mentioned Sugar Hill Gang, which is they're performing with you with the SLSO coming up May 8th at Stiefel Theater. And they get they've for a long time gotten the traditional wisdom is they got the credit for the first recorded rap song. But was it happened before that, though, right? Wasn't there somebody in the 70s, the late 70s, that recorded a record first?
Yeah, it was a band. It was an R&B funk band called the Fat Back Band.
Okay.
And they did a record called King Tim III. The only difference was it wasn't a full rap song. It was the first song when the first time a rapper was heard rapping on a record. Like, he just came on, said a few rhymes, and that was it. Sugar Hill Gang gets the credit, rightfully so, for the first full-length, completely hip-hop recording. But hip-hop has always been around in many different forms for centuries. And what I mean by that is, when the people that created hip-hop before Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Treacherous Three, Afrika Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation, and Soul Sonic Four, the Cold Crush 4 MCs, the Funky 4 Plus 1, the Fantastic Five, and all of those groups, like the Crash Crew, all of those groups that made hip-hop, we knew that hip-hop was here in various different forms. You had Gil Scott-Heron. You had The Last Poets. And even right in front of our face, when these rappers that I just mentioned started, it wasn't called hip-hop. They were just DJing and rapping over the music that was common to our communities. We come from a place where music to us was Saturday on the weekends, when you had the weekend off and it was no school. Two great things would happen every Saturday. At 12 o'clock, you would watch Soul Train with Don Cornelius, and you would see all the funk and the black and the soul artists. Then at 1 o'clock, you would watch American Dance Dance, where you would see Dick Clark presents all the rock, funk, punk, everybody from David Bowie to the Beach Boys. That was a part of our history and our upbringing. And when these rappers that I just mentioned first started, it wasn't called hip-hop. Just like I can name a few records that are typical rap records, but people don't see it because they're so busy having something defined by labels. Y'all know Billy Joel's Read It and Start the Fire, right?
Yeah.
You know that record? Read It and Start Segregation, Integration. He's rapping.
Yeah.
So that's just an example that it was being done But it wasn't until we started doing it on a record where people needed to define it with something. So they just grabbed something that we were just saying, hip-hop, hip-hop. But they grabbed something that we wasn't even saying anything about, and it was able to totally define a whole genre because they didn't know what to call it because it's a gumbo of rock, pop, hip-hop, soul, R&B, classical, jazz. It's a jumbo of the blues. And at the end of the day, everybody knows this. A great blues artist said this, and it's the truth. The blues is the root. Everything else is just the fruit. But you could pull from classical work. You could pull from Beethoven. You could pull from Africa. You could pull from the American Indians. There's so much sound that people have a tendency to put in different classes, which creates the misunderstanding. Ginger Baker, one of the greatest drummers ever from the band Queen, he used to get pissed off. He used to say, it's just music, goddammit. Stop labeling it. But it's more importantly to understand that when it comes specifically to hip-hop, Grandmaster Caz from the legendary Cold Crush Brothers, one of the hip-hop groups that created this, he said this, and this is the truth. Hip-hop didn't invent anything. We reinvented everything.
So when you're talking about Fatback and Sugar Hill and then Run DMC comes in the early 80s, did you ever think that it was going to be what it is now? Because it took a while for it to really hit mainstream.
They asked Jam Master Jay, rest in peace, 1984, we went over to London and we was being interviewed. And the journalist asked Jam Master Jay, did you ever think hip hop would be this big? Do you ever think it could be, you know, a legitimate form of music, you know, to rival pop, soul, and rock and roll and everything? And Jay said this. He said yes, because it was so big to me when I first heard it. And what's powerful about that was Jay was just saying that for his world. It was New York, it was Connecticut, it was Jersey, it was the East Coast. This little culture came out to Prague. It started to spread across the United States like a zombie apocalypse. But when Jay said when he first heard it, he knew it was going to be big in the world. And Jay was just talking about his little world. But me and Run, our thing was just this. We didn't need it to be a big phenomenon in the music business. For us, the mission and the success, this is going to be funny too, was just to get this. If you was able to go in and record a rap song, the success, the lifetime fulfillment, the mission accomplished, was just to get the record played on Friday and Saturday night on the Friday and that Saturday night hip hop show.
Yeah,
because that was just our world. But the beauty and the significant thing that allowed hip hop to become what it is, you know, it's popular, or I don't even want to say it's popular, to become a part of rock and roll was the positivity and the description and the content and the presentation. Yes, we talked about a lot of negative stuff. We said what the negativity was, but then we gave vision and hope and solutions that were positive. Like you said, before Run DMC, it was Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five, Sugar Hill, and all of these gangs, and everybody was partying, and everybody was spreading the message. But Run DMC came along, took rock and roll, which we were stealing from, combined that with our culture, and not only did we just sample or steal or take from another form of music, Rick Rubin made us literally go to Boston and do it with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
So when people saw that, the powerful thing was this. It was two generations, two different music, two different races of people coming together in harmony. That was the thing that made it so great. It wasn't me and Run and Jay could have just sampled Walk This Way, and people would have just been saying, yo, remember in 86 when Run DMC sampled Walk This Way, which was done by Aerosmith? But the beauty was we proved in an example that shows that politics and religion and all the hate that exists now, back then, in the civil rights era, even way back to the cavemen, all the hate in the world, that was when Steven Tyler took that mic stand and knocked down the wall that was separating us in the video, it didn't just happen on MTV, it happened in the world.
Yeah.
We were an example of the powerful positivity power of music. So when we first started out, our expectation was just to say, I've made it. Why did you make it, Run DMC? Because Mr. Magic and Red Alert played our record on Friday and Saturday night. It was no destination. There wasn't a destination of dominance. We just wanted to do honorably and respectfully to things that we saw the Beatles and Stevie Wonder, for example, doing.
Yeah.
Those were our inspirations. That's why hip-hop was so good. Now when you look at hip-hop, just to sell some records and make money, the promotion and oversaturation of kill and shoot and get high and have sex and I'll beat you up if you disrespect me, that's doing a disservice not to hip-hop culture, but to our communities. When I rap, I'm DMC, in the place to be. I go to St. John's University, and since kindergarten, I acquired the knowledge. After 12th grade, I'm going straight to college. I rap that with the same attitude and the same ego that people rap about selling drugs and being in gangs and doing negativity. That confidence that I put behind positive, legitimate, constructive ways to get everything that you want had an effect on my audience.
Yeah.
So when hip-hop was created, it was not created to be successful in the music business. It was created to do what Neil Young was doing when he woke up one morning and saw that the president sent the National Guard to shoot college kids. So what did he do? He didn't call his manager. He didn't call the label. He ran to the studio in Ohio. They called Marvin Gaye, who was known for just sex and love and he saw something was needed to be said about situations. So he did a record called What's Going On against Berry Gordy's Riches.
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on and on about artists, you know, not just musicians, creators, playwriters, journalists such as yourself, taking upon themselves to say, we need to talk about that. So when we was doing these records, our goal was, man, I want Neil Young to say I'm doing a good thing. You know, if I was able to meet John Lennon, who I saw sleep in a bed naked with Yoko Ono to protest the wrong things about a war. So we was like, whoa. The thing that marveled us was they were using their music. They were courageous enough to speak up for all of us.
Yeah. DMC, it is awesome to talk to you, man. I wish we had more time to do this. You'll be coming into town.
You know what?
Listen,
I'll come back on anytime you want.
Hey, when you
come into town.
How about this? When you come into town, come in studio and see us. How about that?
All right, let's make that happen. Because what's cool is I'm coming there to perform with the St. Louis Symphony.
Yep.
It's going to be phenomenal. Me and the Sugar Hill Gang. But real quick, on May 30th, I'm dropping my new single for my new album called America. This first single, it's me and Sebastian Bach from Skid Row on vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Travis Barker on drums. Mick Mars from Motley Crue on guitar. And Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses on bass. So I'll come in. We can talk about the show.
Awesome.
And we can talk about the new music.
Let's do it. That's going to be great. Listen, DMC, awesome to talk to you. May 8th, Stiefel Theater, DMC, Sugar Hill Gang with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, slso.org for tickets. Daryl McDaniels, thank you, man.
Thank you. So I'm going to have my publicist connect with y'all.
Yes, please do.
Awesome. For me to come see y'all.
We'll see you in May.
Done deal. And y'all keep up the great work, too. Love y'all.
All right, love you, too. That is DMC. Awesome.
Wow. This is going to be great.
It's going to be May 8th, slso.org. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.